We covered the Old Testament books, and now we're in the New Testament. We covered the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we learned the aspects that God wants us to see our Savior in. Now we start into the one book in the New Testament that we refer to as the history book in the New Testament, okay? And it's the book of Acts. Next week, we'll start in the doctrine books, the Pauline epistles, Romans, 1 Corinthians. We'll start working our way through these. But right now, we're looking at a history book of the New Testament. It covers 32 years. And in the top of your Bible, it should say, most Bibles say, the Acts of the Apostles, right? The Acts of the Apostles, and some will say Acts. I like it saying this way. Ready? This will help. See, I'm going to give you an overview this morning. We can't read 28 chapters together, but if I whet your appetite, you could go home and read it. And then I'm going to give you some things that will help us as a church stay straight doctrinally so that you can understand. All right? But that title, I like doing this, and I wrote it in my Bible. You don't have to, but I wrote it this way. I like calling it the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And then I always put a tag on it, not Christians. Because you're going to see a lot of things take place in the book of Acts that don't take place anymore. And if you're not careful, you fall into this trap. And it sounds wonderful when somebody says this. How come in the book of Acts, in the early church, miracle after miracle after miracle took place. And I've heard Christians say this. If we had the faith that they had, God could work in our midst too. But our problem is, today we don't have faith. I understand the sincerity of that statement. But when I read the Bible, I also understand rightly dividing the word of truth. And there are going to be, it would help. For instance, if you read the book of Acts, what's going to be the first miracle that you come across? Tongues. Then you're going to find a man that's been crippled, born crippled, sitting at a gate. Peter's going to look at him and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this man gets up and it says he was leaping and praising God into the temple. And you're going to find Peter's shadow heals people as he's walking down the street. You're going to say, it says the shadow of Peter. You're going to find people getting handkerchiefs and stuff like that. That's where these stupid money grabbers on TV, they use the book of Acts for their thing. How can we stay clear? Watch this. If you understand the title, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, not Christians. There are things the apostles could do that we can't do. Okay? There's things the apostles could do that we cannot do. I'll explain that to you in just a second. The book of Acts is going to cover 32 years. Let me just review with you real quick. There are three books in the New Testament that are books of transition. Matthew, Acts, and we'll get to Hebrews. What we are careful of is in the book of Acts, when we read it, we're careful about the doctrine we pull out. Because there's some things that are taking place in the book of Acts that will not happen now. Listen closely. In 2,000 years of history, since the apostles went to heaven, John was the last one to die on the Isle of Patmos after God gave him revelation, right? That was 100 AD, 98, right around in there. Basically, in 2,000 years of history, there's never been a record of anybody being healed that was born blind. There is no record in 2,000 years of history of anyone who was born crippled coming to a church and then getting the ability to walk. There is no record. You say, well, it could have happened and it just didn't make the headlines. Trust me, it would have made the headlines. It didn't. Let me give you one more thing. In 2,000 years of history, there is no record of anyone being raised from the dead. There is none. All of those things happen in the book of Acts. When I read the book of Acts, I am looking for, you can learn spirit-filled soul winning, yielding to the Holy Spirit, letting God use you to win others to Christ. You can pull that out of the book of Acts. You can also pull spirit-directed church planting, because they did that a lot in the book of Acts. But the rest of the stuff, the raising people from the dead, shadows healing people and things like that, that doesn't happen anymore. And I'll tell you why here in just a second. Ready? Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews are books of transitions where God is changing gears. All right? You're transitioning from the Jews in the Old Testament, then the Jews reject Jesus, and now we're the Gentile church to the Gentiles. Okay? Then we're transitioning in the book of Acts from Israel to the church. And no, they're not the same. People who think these are the same, that's how the Catholics could kill other Christians. How could a Christian kill another Christian? And then quote scripture to them while they're doing it. Because you don't believe like us. Here was their justification. Well, they stoned Achan. When Achan didn't tithe, all Israel stoned him. And if Israel did it in the Old Testament, then the church is supposed to do it in the New Testament. No, that's not true. Israel and the church are not equal. They're two different entities. Ready? We're going from, in the book of Acts, we're going to start with the Jews, Israel, and Judaism, and we're going to transfer to Christianity. All right? And someone said, oh, those are the same. Those aren't the same. Salvation's the same. But if you got transported back in time to the King David's time, you would not take your Bible to church. One, you'd go on Saturday, the Sabbath, not on Sunday. Two, you weren't allowed, nobody could touch the Bible. Not even the Jews. They have a pointer that's about like, it's right around 8 inches long. They grab it. They don't even touch the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. They're not allowed to touch it. You wouldn't grab your Bible and go to church. You wouldn't go to church and hear preaching. You'd go to the church, you went to the temple to do two things: hear the Bible and sing the Bible. And if a prophet was filled with the Holy Spirit and God was telling him to preach, then he preached. But nobody just got up and said, "Brother so-and-so, why don't you come on up here and tell us what you think about Ezra?" That didn't happen. It didn't happen. No, Judaism and Christianity are not the same. Judaism is in the Old Testament, and you're transferring to Christianity in the New Testament. All right? You're also transferring in the book of Acts. You're transferring from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of God. You're transferring from a physical, literal kingdom of Israel to an invisible kingdom. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. We're not fighting for world domination. It scared me. One of the men running for office, I think it was Cruz, said he's for a theocracy, a Christian theocracy. It scares me. Let me reinterpret that. Are you ready? We're Baptists. We don't make anybody be a Christian. You understand? We don't make anybody be a Christian at gunpoint. There are Christians who say we need to make America a Christian nation again. We need to get back to our roots. What they're talking about is forced Christianity. No, I'm not for that. How do we win? We win by going soul winning and planting churches, and then by planting churches, people hear the preaching of the Word of God, and then they learn how to think scripturally. Do you understand? But we don't make anybody be Christian at gunpoint. We're fighting for the kingdom of God, an invisible kingdom, so there's a transition there. One more. Jerusalem is the most mentioned name in the Bible. Antioch becomes the greatest church, though, not Jerusalem. Antioch becomes Paul's home church, where they plant church after missionary journey after missionary journey. Look, if you read, and this helped me, since I've been teaching Baptist history, it really helps me, it's really helped me to view. When you approach your Bible, for instance, watch what happens. If you approach your Bible and you read the book of Acts, you're going to see the church at Jerusalem. And then 3,000 people get saved. And then in the next chapter, 4,000 get saved. And many think the church at Jerusalem was right around 30 to 50,000. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Well, if you come to church with the mindset, man, the book of Acts, the church was so big. I wonder when God's going to give us a bigger building. We've got 10 acres here, but when are we going to get to run 1,000? I don't ever think that. Because Jerusalem is not the model church in the New Testament. Antioch is. That was Paul's home church. What did they do in Antioch? Paul started there, and then they went out, as you're looking at the map, and planted churches. Then they went out on the second missionary journey and planted churches. Then came back, and then finally the third missionary journey. You know what we're supposed to? I think it's healthy this way. I don't walk on the church property going, Lord, one day, when are you going to give us a bigger church? I think it's scriptural to think this way. Are you ready? Lord, when are you going to let us plant another church? Now that's scriptural. Well, look, God's the one that builds the church. Right? Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not my job to build the church. My job to preach what God tells me to preach. Okay? But Jesus is the one that builds the church. I don't ever walk on the property going, man. You know, our master site plan has a educational building right back here, a gymnasium over here in front of the pavilion, and it has a 2,000-seat auditorium right there where this parking lot is. Okay? 2,000 seats. Lord, one day. Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you this morning. I don't think that way. And watch this. I don't think that's a healthy way to think, because when you start doing anything to get people to come to church, you start changing. Well, whatever it takes to get a crowd, let's put a rock band up there and let's go ahead and, well, don't stand so strong in the King James Bible and come on, don't preach too hard. Just kind of use your voice and fluctuation and good to have you this morning. And you know, come on, appeal to those yuppies and that, you know what I mean? Go after the money crowd. I don't think that's scriptural. Because once you want it, oh, one day we're going to have... No. I think if you'll use Antioch as the pattern for the church, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem ends up going bankrupt, by the way. They wouldn't do what they were supposed to do. They had to get help. Paul had to get help for the church at Jerusalem. No, what's our model church? When you read the book of Acts, watch Antioch. Out of Antioch, we get the scriptures. The Antiochian text. And we'll go into that with the history of the Bible, and we'll hit that with Baptist history. All I'm saying is watch Antioch. Now, as you transition the blindness of Israel, we're going to go from Israel to the church. And Israel is going to get more blind and more blind and more blind till finally they don't hear. Paul is a Jew that got saved, and every church, it takes him a while to finally get the message. The Jews are shutting Christ out. Jews do get saved, by the way, but it's hard. I remember trying to witness to a Jew in the Marine Corps, and I didn't. I watched Dane Spearman. He knew the scriptures very well. He was witnessing to a Jew. First place he took him to was Deuteronomy. And this is what he was telling the Jew. He was sitting on the bunk. I was watching. I was a young Christian. I'd never seen that before. But he said, Dane sat there and he was crying with tears. And the Jew he was witnessing to, he was like, I just don't believe in the Messiah. The Messiah hasn't come. And Dane took him to Deuteronomy and said, he said you would reject him. Look at this. That guy was crying. He didn't get saved. But that was in a league I'd not done that before. Jews do get saved, but it's hard. It takes hours. Okay? Their blindness, they don't see Jesus, because what they say before he was crucified, we have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and our children. That's why I don't like anti-Semitism or hatred of Jews. I think it's dangerous. Israel is still God's people. The only hope for America is that we are still her allies. Israel should never be. I don't think you should. But how come there is anti-Semitism and Nazism? How come Hitler went and killed 6 million of them? How come the Catholics butchered them for 1,000 years? They were cursed. His blood be upon us and our children. And God said, fine. They're still God's people. Be careful with Israel. Now, as we transition from Israel to the church, there are four transition points in the book of Acts. Are you ready? Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. In chapter 7, Stephen gets stoned. It's the last sermon. See, the sermons in Acts chapter 2, there's 22 sermons. 22 sermons in the book of Acts. In 28 chapters. And every chapter is either about preaching or persecution. You can label it in your Bible. Every chapter is either, they're either preaching the gospel or they're getting beat for it. Okay? Or they're getting imprisoned or jailed or something. 22 sermons. When you read Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching to the Jews. And he's saying, you Jews, you killed Jesus. You murdered the Prince of Life. We don't preach that way right now. Now, spiritually, my sins put Jesus on the cross. Right? Your sins put Jesus on the cross. But we don't preach as preachers, America, you murdered the Savior. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching to the Jews and he's saying, you Jews, you murdered him. Now, he gave his life for us, right? He had to die. But at the same time, Peter stands up. Excuse me. Stephen stands up in Acts chapter 7. It's the last sermon that's like that. You Jews, you murdered him. We don't preach that way. That's the last sermon that's that way. Then notice what happens in chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There's transition number one. Now, the gospel starts getting spread. That, in other words, Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7 is the last one of the kingdom of God. He gets stoned. He gets killed. The Bible says in the verses there before it, they laid their clothes at Saul's feet. They take out their outer garments. And then, of course, they stoned Stephen and he dies at the end of chapter 7. There's the first transition. Let's look at the second transition to the blindness of Israel. Go to chapter 13, verse 46. 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, the last phrase here, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They're getting the picture. You Jews are hard to talk to. Every time we go to your city, you cause an uprising, you cause a riot. I'm telling you, we're going to quit talking to you and we're going to go to the Gentiles. See, that had never happened before. Now that's transition number two. Look at transition number three. It gets even harder. Go to chapter 18 and verse 6. Ready? Here's the third transition. Chapter 18 and look at verse number 6. 18 verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go into the Gentiles. Paul's pretty ticked off here. He said, I've tried. He said, that's it. See, when he started planting churches, every time he went to a city, the first place he went to was a synagogue. I got to tell the Jews, because I'm a Jew. I got to tell them. Then as they kept fighting him, he finally comes to chapter 18 and he says, sit! I'm not talking to you anymore. Now let's look at the final transition of the blindness of Israel. Look at chapter 28. Look at chapter 28 and these transitions here help you understand a little bit. I hope it'll help you when you read it. Look at verse 28. 28. Chapter 28, verse 28. It says here, be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And that's been the rest of history. Jews are welcome at our church. We're not a Gentile-only church. But it's hard to get a Jew saved. When you do, they're wonderful. They're wonderful, okay? But they're hard. And for the most part, this is the Gentile New Testament church. Anybody in here half Jew? Quarter Jew, eighth Jew. So guess what that makes us? Gentiles. You know what the word Gentile means? Heathen. Pagan. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? We're all a bunch of heathen. You know what it means? God didn't use us to pen the scriptures like he did the Jews, and we have no claims to salvation. The only way we got saved was by God's grace. That's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. We're Gentiles. Now, there's the transitions. Now let's go to the key verse. Now, go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let me show you something here, and I am watching the time. The key word is witness. It's found over 30 times in the book of Acts. Found 30 times. You're going to read that word over and over again. But look at Acts chapter 1, and we call this the key verse. There's more, and I'll show you. It's very handy. It's a very wonderful verse. But watch this. Acts 1:8. Ready? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let me just. If I broke the verse down, I'm not teaching on it this morning. But one thing you do when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God is you witness. You don't care what other people think about you. And a Spirit-filled Christian, I don't find, speaks in tongues. See, watch this. Let me break. Ready? We're going to take a rabbit trail, shoot the rabbit, make a bunch of slippers, and then come back right where we're at. Are you ready? Here we go. In the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Ghost 10 times. These are the references where it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Only 3 of the times, of the 10, only 3 of the 10 did they speak with tongues. And every time they spoke with tongues, Jews were present and people got saved. I'm from a Pentecostal background. My great uncle was the front man for Jimmy Swaggart. When I got saved, I had questions about tongues. And when somebody says, oh, we had a worshipful time at our church, and oh, we're speaking in tongues, every time they say that, I respond this way, scripturally, and I say, was anybody saved when speaking in tongues? And the answer to the question is no. A bunch of women doing it, wasn't it? The answer to the question is yes. Did more than 3 do it in the service? You had an unscriptural service. And I don't know what spirit was there, but the spirit wasn't holy. Because the Holy Spirit always leads you to obey the Bible, never contradict it. Okay? Now that's a different lesson. But if you need that ammunition, write it down. Amen? And if you want more, I'll give it to you. What I'm trying to show you is this. Every time they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, no, they did not speak with tongues. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll speak with tongues. No, that's not true. Acts 1:8 says this, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't care what other people think about you. And you'll lovingly and kindly give a tract. Well, I just don't know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, that's scriptural. Well, I don't go soul winning. I don't do that. Careful. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to be a witness. Now, watch this. It says here, Acts 1:8 is the key verse. I like using this as the key verse because you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's chapters 1 through 7. And Judea and Samaria. Okay, that's the areas around Jerusalem. That's chapters 8 through 12. And finally, the uttermost part of the earth, missions. Paul's first missionary journey is Acts 13, and then the other 2 are in this right here. So chapter 1, verse 8, the key verse, lends to a nice breakdown of the whole 28 chapters of Acts. Okay? So this will help you. Let me give you another way of breaking the book down when you read it. Ready? It starts with Peter, the apostle to the Jews, chapters 1 through 12. I know Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 8. However, it ends with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, 13 to 28. Okay? And that's because Paul is the pattern Christian. He's not the model missionary. You don't find the word missionary in your Bible. Do you know why? Because we're all supposed to be missionaries. That's why. Paul's the model Christian. And every Christian's supposed to ask the question when they get saved, just like Paul, what wouldst thou have me to do? Just like Paul. Because God saved you to do something that no other person can do. All of us have a purpose now that we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Paul's the pattern. Now, let's look at, here we go. It's important that you understand when you're reading it. If you have a Scofield Bible, Mr. Scofield is wrong in the introductory of Acts. The church was started in Matthew 10 when Jesus called out the disciples. The word church means a called out assembly. When Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. When he called the apostles to himself, he started the church while he was here on earth. The church did not start in Acts chapter 2. The church was empowered in Acts chapter 2. God gave the Holy Spirit, and that had not happened. Samson, right? I don't think he was like this. I mean, not like this. He was much smaller. No, I'm just kidding. Samson, that was a joke for crying out loud, okay? Samson, it says the Holy Spirit of God came on him and left. Came on him and left. Came on him and left. 8 times. More times than any other man in the Bible. But came on him and left. When Acts chapter 2 happens, the church gets empowered. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit for the first time comes in you to stay. That happened when he rose again. And then the empowering happens for witnessing in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. Very important that you understand that. That'll help you. When was the church started? It was not started in Acts chapter 2. Now, let's look at one. Go to Mark chapter 16, real quick. Mark chapter 16. I think the greatest thing that I work for is for you to go home and read your Bible yourself. Amen? And if I can give you things that'll help you with understanding and watch, not get caught up in false doctrine, and false teaching, just because a church teaches it doesn't make it right. But if I could get you to go home and read your Bible for yourself, man, that Sunday school class did what? It whet my appetite. And the little things like this, I think, keeps us straight and focused. Look at chapter 16, the last chapter in Mark, and look at verse number 17. Ready? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Look at the last verse, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. This is what we call, it appears when you just read that, these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, it sounds like then if you're saved, you could do those things. That's not what that's saying. It is saying those are what we call the sign gifts. Okay, I'm so glad we're not a snake handling church, but this is the verse that the snake handlers use. See, we're going to bring out some snakes. Got some rattlesnakes in here. And if you got enough faith, you can reach in and get one. Ah! I'm not even waiting to pray. I'm out of there. Okay? But now wait a second. They're using the Bible verses to say, see, Jesus said, if you believe, you could take up serpents. That's okay, and they're all over in the Appalachians and everything else. Okay, I'm so glad. Now, how come we don't do that? Paul got bit by a snake, right? And it says it dropped off and nothing happened to him. And it caused the natives there on the island to go, got their attention, right? All right. This is what we call, we don't have time to go into it, but these are called the sign gifts. Listen closely. The sign gifts, God gave the apostles the ability to work signs and wonders to confirm the authority of the apostles that what God was using them to pen indeed was the Word of God. How does a Jew know? This is Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, but, you know, Matthew and then 1 Thessalonians gets penned and Luke is used to pen the book of Luke and then he pens the book of Acts and it's the Word of God. It's not man's words. How do we know it's the Word of God? Look at the miracles that God used them to do. God confirmed His Word with signs and wonders. No, what they're penning Romans, 1 Corinthians, it's Bible. It's God's Word. It's not their Word. Look at the miracles. God confirmed the Word. Now, you ready? Here's the concept. In Hebrews 2, God says the same thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God speaks of the signs of an apostle. Remember I told you there's things that the apostles did that we cannot do? I don't care how much faith you have. There's other things that our faith God uses, okay? But working signs and miracles, let me show you. You ready? When you start reading the book of Acts, I drew two triangles here. See the red one? This is going to represent signs and wonders. And when you read the book of Acts, it starts out with big miracles. And then they get smaller and smaller and smaller. In chapter 14, verse 3, signs are mentioned for the last time. You don't read signs anymore. In Acts chapter 15, verse 12, the word wonders is done for the last time. You won't read the word wonders anymore. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 11, miracles is mentioned for the last time. So it does this, big miracles, people rising from the dead, the sick being healed, and they come to a close to where finally, when Paul is in jail in 2 Timothy, he says, he leaves someone in Miletum because he's sick. Paul no longer has the ability to heal. But he did heal. He healed before. Tabitha, remember Dorcas? She got up. Everybody was amazed. Then at the end, before when his life's getting ready to close, he no longer has the ability to heal. So the miracles start big in the book of Acts, and they taper off. What starts small? The Word of God. And it gets bigger and bigger. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they that gladly received His Word were baptized, so the Word is received. In chapter 6, verse 7, the Word of God is increased. In chapter 12, verse 24, the Word of God grows and multiplies. And in chapter 19, verse 20, it says, mightily grew the Word of God. So the Word of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger in the book of Acts, and the miracles, signs, and wonders get smaller and smaller and smaller. What does that teach me? An overview of the book of Acts is this. I didn't come to church today to look for the spectacular and have an experience. I came to church today to hear the Word of God. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a lame man to come into the church or somebody that's blind that we can lay hands on. And I'm not looking. And that's why some people in this day and age of sensationalism, I'm looking for a feeling. I'm looking for a experience. Not supposed to be. A church is supposed to be chosen because of the Word of God. I heard the Word of God. God used the Word of God. And I'm not looking for the miracles. And I'm not looking, and here's the statement. Remember what I said at the start of Sunday school? Boy, if we had the faith that they had in the book of Acts, we'd see the miracles that they saw in the book of Acts. But our problem is we don't have enough faith. That is not true. And that will lead you into doctrinal hooey, okay? Or nerky, or that'll mess you up. When you read the book of Acts, you learn to put the emphasis on the Word of God. On the Word of God. Now, finally in chapter 28, as a matter of fact, go to chapter 28. Go to the end of Acts. Acts 28. Starts with Peter, apostle to the Jews. Ends with Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Look at 28. Look at the last two verses in the book of Acts, Acts 28, 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things, which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So Paul was on house arrest before he was executed and they had his head cut off. They knew he was an old man. They kept him on house arrest, kept a soldier there, but they knew this old man isn't gonna, run across the country. 2 years he was on house arrest. When you close the book of Acts, preaching and teaching are the emphasis. When you start the book of Acts, remember Mark chapter 16? Preaching the word, signs and wonders following, the Lord working that. The start of it, they preach and signs and wonders happen. The end of it, preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. That's what we respond to. That's what we're supposed to respond to. What was taught? What came from the Bible? That's how I know it's right. That's how I know I'm in a good church. The book of Acts. There's things that take place in it that don't take place anymore. You know what? We got one more minute. Can we just look at something real quick? Go to Acts chapter 2. Ready? Actually, we don't have any more time. But as I was studying again this morning, I just wanted to cover this with you. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I'll give you something to mark down in your Bible. You ready? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's one of the main verses that people say you got to get baptized or you can't, or to get your sins washed away. How come that's not true? Number one, he's not telling them how to be saved. If you'll look over at verse 21, same chapter. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? So he's already told them how to be saved. Look at the question at the end of verse 37. Look what they're asking. Now that you've showed us how to get saved, what's the question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And the key word that ought to be circled in verse 38 is the word for, F-O-R. F-O-R. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for either unto the remission of sins or because of the remission of sins. Did you know the word for has 18 definitions when you look it up in a Webster's? 18. It does mean unto and because of. But wait a second. There's no contradiction in the Bible. Believe and ye shall have everlasting life. You put your faith in Christ, He saves you. I know this is in contradiction, so it can't mean unto. It has to mean because of. Did you go to the store for groceries because you had them or to get them? That's unto, right? That's unto. You went to the store to get groceries. But watch this. Did you leap for joy to get it or because you had it? That's proper too. That little word there, F-O-R, is the key thing. No, it does not mean unto, so you can get your sins remitted. It means because your sins have been remitted, you need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. And there's a whole bunch of verses like that. I wish we had more time. The book of Acts is the one history book in the New Testament, but you do have to be careful with it, because it's a book of transition. Be careful about the doctrine you pull out of it, but it is God's Word. I hope that encourages you. Read it this week and enjoy it. So remember, as you study the book of Acts, keep your perspective on signs, wonders, and miracles right. Yes, there are things that God did in the book of Acts that God does not do and will not do until the tribulation. But the greatest miracle in the New Testament that we should be looking for is salvation when someone gets saved. It was a miracle when you got saved. It was a miracle when I got saved. And so that's the miracles that we're looking for, and it keeps our perspective right. And as we read the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth, it also keeps us from doctrinal error.